You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
And you look so tall, too. Hi, everyone.
Oh, I'm just
oh, I love it. We are back, and I'm going to grab a pillow and put it under my butt and see if that makes me skinnier. Okay, now it won't. Oh, good thing I'm wearing pants. Okay. Whew. Always remember to wear pants, just a little etiquette.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. So I'm very excited. Today we have Elizabeth Saluru, and as usual, I have no clue who she is. But I do know, just looking at her, the first thing when she came on, I was like, okay, this woman is beautiful. She's bold and she's brave and ready to do this live with me because I have no prep because I'm the laziest podcast host out there. I don't need to prep because you're going to tell us who you are. So take it away, Elizabeth.
First of all, I'd want to say thanks so much for inviting me on your show. I don't know what to expect, and I think that's half the fun. That's exactly why I'm here today. So thank you. And thank you to everyone listening and watching as well. I'm Elizabeth Saluru. I wear a few hats, but right now I'm an author of a business book called The Luxpreneur, and I'm a luxury business consultant, and I have a couple of other businesses that I run. So that's me in a nutshell. I'm based in London, UK. I love reaching out to people. I love connecting. I love networking. And I would love to help in any way I can.
I've never heard of the terminology like luxury business. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes. Luxury business consultant. Yes.
My gosh, when I think about that, I'm thinking I'm going to go in your office and there's going to be a lot of couches. There's going to be a coffee machine, soda. Nope.
And I wish. I want that.
What is a luxury business?
So a luxury business consultant, which is what I do, I literally just help people get people who would pay them a lot of money for their work. So if you're a service-based provider or a product-based provider, I come into your organization and I help you make more money. That's essentially it. But I come at it from a luxury point of view. So a lot of people want to be luxury brands because they think all these amazing clients out there who spend a shed load of money, and they do. However, not many people are prepared for how much work it is to break into that world. So I help them make it a bit easier.
Whoa. Okay. I have questions for you, but I realize I forgot to put in. I want people to see who you are and learn that. So I need to let me just put your name in right here. And then I would love to have, hold on for 1 second. I should have done this. But as you know, we are also live on Chatter Social, which is, I know I talk about it all the time. I can't help myself. It's an amazing program. So we'll get you to look at that Solaru. We have a large collection of people from the UK, which is really nice. Yes. And what is your website?
Website is elizabethsaluru.com.
Oh, it's your name. Okay.
Yeah, it's my name.com.
I love it. Okay. So we're going to just save this. This is going to scroll around the bottom and let me see and show. There we go. Okay. All right. Are you so first of all, is this your like coined phrase? Is it a trademark name? Like, because luxury business is really interesting when it comes to consulting. So
it's generic. So I feel anyway that anyone can become a luxury business consultant if you know enough of the industry and if you are sensible. It's not rocket science. It's about knowing, for me anyway, it's about knowing people, knowing how they buy, why they buy. But high-end clients are slightly different because we're talking about a slightly bigger price point. And when you have the money to buy anything in the world, who you choose to buy from is very important. So for me, one of the key things is how easy do you make it for people to buy from you? Do they have to fill 1,000 forms? Do they have to jump through hoops? Is your website, does your website tell them exactly what to do? Can they click one button and get exactly? So again, it's all about that. So again, like I said, it's about being sensible. It's about knowing who you're trying to target because not all luxury clients are the same. They're all different. And I'll explain some of the differences later.
This is so interesting because I was just on a call today. I was consulting one of my clients and I was on a website and I said, after like a minute, I'm like, oh, I probably wouldn't buy from this person because of their website. So I think we're on the same page. I wasn't sure as a consultant, if you're going in and looking at where you could save them money, because I know that's a whole nother business where you could save money and make them more profitable, but you're actually looking at almost as with a customer service kind of eyes. Am I correct with that thinking?
Yes, exactly. So I'm looking through because I always believe that customer is king, but in luxury, we are the king or queen maker because people want to associate. Because if they've got all the money in the world, they then want to associate with brands that make them feel even better, look important, etc. So you've got to give them a reason why they want to associate with your brand. And it doesn't really matter whether you're an established brand or a massive heritage brand or you're a beginner, because I think this is the difference with my philosophy. Because some people say, oh, it takes 100 years to build a legacy for you to be regarded as heritage. And that is true to a little extent. But the fact that you're new and you're different can actually put eyes on you with the right type of client.
Wow, that is so interesting. Now, I always preach, I teach LinkedIn, and I always preach like you have to be, people have to like find you, right? They have to be able to, they can find you, but then how do they connect with you? I am that person that like yells out my cell phone number, 386-631-4577. Write it down real quick. Because I know that I don't really want to do business with a company that may have an issue with, how do I reach you? If there's a problem, I want to know what that looks like. So are you looking at all those pieces together? And do you have any tips for someone who may not have a luxury brand, but has a business and is like, nobody's reaching out to me. What's going on?
That is honestly an excellent question, because you have hit the nail on the head when it comes to convenience. If we find people bothering us and sliding into our DMs unprovoked, if we find that irritating, imagine how luxury clients find things like that. So one, yes, you've got to be findable, but you've got to be findable on their terms. So for example, I have clients that literally send me two words or three words as a WhatsApp, and that's it. Literally, you'll have to think, okay, what are they trying to say? And then I have to think to myself, I'm not going to bother them to explain what they mean. I will go to their PA, their executive assistant. I might go to whoever looks after their affairs, maybe a family office. And I would say, your client has texted me three words. Can you explain? Because all that back and forth is too much trouble for some of them. So they use shorthand. Some of them use shorthand. Some of them are very detailed. They have the emails all set up and da 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 da. The most important thing is, one, be very, very easy and convenient to get hold of. And number two, match energies. So if somebody's formal, be formal. If somebody's casual, be casual, but don't overstep your boundaries, because at the end of the day, you're still serving them. But, and also, until you deliver your product or service, I always say to people, don't be friends with them because they can overstep boundaries. They're paying, but you need to keep those boundaries in place because at the end of the day, you're still serving. So until you serve and they're happy, then you can become friends. Then you can have a nice relationship. And indeed, I've kept some of my former clients as friends, but you just need to be careful. So for me, it's about matching energies. It's about being so easy and convenient to find. And this is where, exactly like you said, you yell out your number. If that works for you, continue to do that. But if people have, like, for example, on social media, you go on someone's Instagram and you're thinking, how do I then get hold of them? And then you try to DM them and they have on the top, no DMs. And I understand that. But guess what? Do you think putting no DMs is going to stop a spammer from spamming you, right? That's not going to stop them. But a real client, as soon as they see no DMs or we do not take bookings without the booking form, they're gone. They have bounced. They are gone. So it's about convenience. But you might say, oh, but Elizabeth, how do I filter out client? Because you need to filter out the wrong type of clients for you. Again, a couple of things will do that. One, the easy one we tend to fall back on is something like price point. So if you make it clear, this is our price point. I never put things like my starting price because that's all people hear. So you need to filter out your prices. You can be transparent with that. You can also filter out by the type of imagery that you use on your website or marketing materials. So if I've got a photo of a massive yacht or a big building on my page, you know, people will go, oh, okay, that's interesting. So I'm already filtering out people. So there are ways in which you can do that without you having to, what's the word I'm looking for? Without you having to say, oh my God, you know, what if I attract the wrong people? So, yeah, so those are just some of my thoughts based on what you've said. Sorry, I can't hear you.
Sorry, my dog was going a little crazy. So I didn't understand. Nobody wants me here. Stop barking, Taz. Okay, anyways, my bangs are bothering me. I just think, sorry, they just get me crazy. Okay, so chat boxes. How important then would you say to these luxury brands that I have a question, I want to use a chat box and I don't want to see, sorry, nobody's working the chat box today. So how important, how do you suggest that? Like, what does that look like for your
Again,
client?
That is another great question because we're talking about luxury industry. They're very resistant to some forms of technology. So we've seen that. In fact, there are some brands that go, we will never sell on the internet. They actually say that. I think that's a bit short-sighted, but, you know, each to their own. So with chat boxes or with AI or with technology, I always believe that you can use your tech on the back end, so the chat boxes, etc., but the front end in terms of delivering customer service or in terms of delivering the product, the creativity, you can use human touch because I think that's very important. So the back end for sure, even chatbots, because we all have emails that have been sent to us. I went to a marketing summit recently and there was a lady there who took all the emails that she had. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of emails. And she used AI to analyze all of them to find the pattern in terms of what are the common questions? What do customers want? What are the problems? Where do people feel we have let them down? So she grouped the response into different categories. And she was able to then use a chatbot to formulate a range of answers. So when people go on the website and they're chatting with a chatbot, it's very, very human-like. So if they say, well, this didn't work, or I need X, Y, Z, or there's a delay. So again, I honestly feel technology in the right hands could be the best thing ever. So if you're able to use technology, definitely use technology.
That makes sense. I think I've had a relationship with a lot of chatbots because some of them are so good. You really do feel like I am like pretty darn sure that Danny was just helping me. And, you know, I've always wanted to call the company and go, can I talk to Danny and see if he's really there? And some do. The other thing that's interesting to me is what about reviews? What advice do you have? Because, okay, so am I a real luxury buyer? Honestly, I'm not. I you know what? When I first moved to Miami and I saw my first MK bag, I thought it was Mary Kay. And I said it out loud. I go, oh, Mary Kay is making bags like that. And my buddy Oscar patted me on the head. And there was some people, they were all like, what's wrong with her? And like, oh, poor Adrienne. It's Michael Kors. She needs to learn about brands. And I'm like, I guess I do. So I'm just not that person, but I have a lot of respect. And I know, I'm sure if you came to my house, you say that, but why are you having a Laura Ashley bag? And I'd be like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. But the importance of like reviews and how can a luxury brand, what do they do when they're kind of like a victim of someone saying something? Maybe one person went into one store, had a bad experience, got a group of their people, and now they're blasting it all over.
Oh, that, I mean, again, that's one of the downsides of social media. I think this is my personal opinion. When someone had a bad experience, apologize unreservedly. Don't wheel out the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Usual PR. This is not reflective of our values. This is not blah, blah, blah. Guess what? It happened. So if something happens, so the one thing you mustn't do is try to fight fire for fire, because you're giving that review the oxygen of publicity. The best thing to do is apologize unreservedly and say, we're truly sorry. How can we make it up to you? We want to make this right. Please tell us what we must do to make it right. Now, sometimes I've seen some brands where the client has gone in and they've told a completely different story. They've literally lied about the brand, and then the brand apologizes, but then they come out and say, we have CCTV, or we have a recording, or we have XYZ. Even in that instance, you can do it discreetly, and then you can then get the people that they posted the review onto, you can get them to scrub that review and take down that review if it's found not to be true. Because I feel you do have to defend yourself, because it's unfair that your name is being dragged through the mud unfairly. But if it's something you've done, hands up and say, we got it wrong. Don't even try to explain why you got it wrong. Just say, we got it wrong. How can we make it up to you? And how can we make sure it never happens again? We're human. Mistakes are going to happen. Maybe the salesperson was having an off day. Maybe you were having an off day. Who knows? But at the end of the day, you deserve, as a luxury client, to have an amazing experience, because you're paying a lot of money. You're paying a shed load of money to get an item. So you deserve to be treated well.
I love that. I see a pile behind you. What's that pile I see?
This is my new baby. It's my new book.
Hold it up. Let's see it. Okay. We're live.
There it is.
Okay. Wait. Okay. I like it. So it says, tell me, L-U-X, Luxpreneur. What is that?
Yeah, that's it. Luxpreneur.
Oh, I love it. So wait, have you patented your name or trademarked your name?
No, I haven't. That's a very good question. I haven't, because I did ask the trademark person, and they said it was generic. It's a bit generic. So even if I trademark, and I'm like, you know what, though, but I might trademark it just for the heck of it. And I need to choose the class that I want it registered in as well. But the one thing is, in terms of copyright, because I'm the first person in the UK to use it, the copyright is automatically assigned in the UK. In the UK. Yeah. In
that's the UK. Okay. So yeah. Hold the book up again. Hold the book up again. I want to ask you a question. So I love, is this part of like the luxury brand is not clutter, very simple. Exactly. It looks like a gray background with a gold and white imprint. Yeah. Okay. And what does it say on the top? Like kind of where your finger.
Oh, just my name. Just my name.
Oh, I love it.
And yeah, just my name. Sorry, at the bottom, how to start and build a successful luxury brand. So, and in terms of the book design, I was very particular because I published it myself. What tends to happen is you go to someone to help you design the front cover, blah, 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 blah. But they might try to push their design on you. And you have your own design. So this is a quick tip that I can give people. If you're looking to publish a book, go to Amazon, click on the book, any book in the genre that you're thinking of. So if it's a marketing book, click on marketing, and then look at all the different marketing books, and then go to the bottom and look at the little squares of books, and then find the book that stands out the most. In terms of color, in terms of font, in terms of just the look and feel. And whatever you have in mind for your design, you need to put that against that book. Because the way Amazon promotes books is that when people start buying your book, they're going to promote it to a shed load of people. But when people then click on another marketing book and they check the bottom, your book needs to pop so people can buy. So that was why I did. And also, being a woman who's written a business book, apparently only 17 to 20% of business books are written by women. Yeah, at least those on the bestseller list is even less from the stats somebody told me. So I just said to myself, I need the book to look, I needed it to look sleek and slightly neutral. I didn't want it to look feminine, and I didn't want it to look too masculine. I just needed something neutral. And black is neutral for everybody. Black and white is a classic. And I thought, I'll just go with that. Because left to me, it'll all be pinks and roses, because that's my natural, that's my natural bent. But I just thought to myself, this is a business book. I want them to take it seriously. So that's why I chose the design.
I love that. And the book is matching what you're wearing. Is that on purpose?
That's deliberate as well. Because I'm either wearing black or white. So I kind of thought, so that's a bit deliberate as well.
Okay. So now, could you do us a favor? Could you open your book and just read like the chapters, so we have an idea of what's in the book? Would you mind?
Yeah, not at all.
I just read the book from the beginning. We have all day.
Okay. Right. No. Okay. So from the beginning, I've actually got all the, at the very front, I've got all the testimonials.
Nice.
So I'm not going to bother reading that, but I will read the chapters, and the chapters are, who is this book for? Because I tell you who the book is for, and there are six types of people the book is for. So those who have no idea of how to find clients, those who clients come but they don't stay, and those who maybe the client has bought from them the one time but they've never come back, and those who have sold to clients regularly, but the clients, they notice that there's a decrease. So those are who the book is for. So also signs that you need this book. So I give you the signs of, in terms of, you know, what your business is going through, then how this book will help you. I state that as well. And then about the chapters, and then there's a foreword by somebody I truly respect who knows all about luxury. And then I talk about my road to luxpreneurship, how I started as a scientist, then became a headhunter, then became a cake maker, and from cake maker, selling to royalty, all the royal families around the world, being flown out, how I then ended up knowing so much about luxury and luxury clients. Then I talk about understanding luxury. I talk about knowing your luxury brand founder archetype, because, for example, my archetype, I'm artisan and visionary. The good side of artisan means that I pay attention to craftsmanship, but the bad side is that that's all I think about. I don't think about margins. I don't think about costs. I don't think about how much to sell my stuff for. So it means I don't keep an eye on the money. The visionary, it means I'm always thinking of the future, always thinking of what could be, but I need to be grounded in the present. So I talk about luxury brand founder archetype. I talk about knowing your luxury business brand category, because there are different types of luxury. So you need to know which type is yours. For many of us who are small business owners, we tend to fall into the what I call boutique. So if you call yourself a boutique or an atelier or whatever, you're covered. Because everyone knows a boutique is small. It's a one-off. We're not a big luxury brand like the Gucci's, like the Fendi's. We are small. We're boutique. So that's in the book as well. There are five different types of luxury brands. I say it in the book. And then I talk about the five pillars of a luxury business. So if you imagine a table with four legs and there's a central pole in the middle, I talk about your business model. I talk about the perception, because a lot of what we think of as luxury is down to perception. And then I talk about storytelling, because the way you tell your story. So when I talk about somebody like Louis Vuitton, everyone knows Louis Vuitton. Everybody wants a Louis Vuitton bag. But what people don't know about Louis Vuitton, and you, what many people don't know about Louis Vuitton is that when he was 13, he walked barefoot from his village in France. And he walked 300 miles to Paris. Nobody knows that about him. And when he arrived in Paris, he started working for a box maker. And in those days, box makers were very important for when you're traveling. And one of the clients he worked for was Napoleon's wife, Josephine. So he went from orphan, and not orphan, he left, orphan, barefoot, apprentice. And then when he started making boxes, he made an observation. He noticed one thing. And what was the observation? That all the boxes had rounded tops, right? So you couldn't stack them on top of each other. So he said, how about we make travel trunks that are flat on the top so we can stack them and it's easier for journeys? And that's how the Louis Vuitton classic trunk came about.
That's an awesome story.
Right?
Yeah, so, I get goosebumps. It's awesome.
Because many people actually think that when you look at these luxury brands, they started from money. No, let me give you another one, Gucci Gucci. Gucci, that we know, it was founded by Guccio Gucci, and he left home when he was 17. He left Italy, came all the way to London to work at the Savoy Hotel as a porter. And it was while he was handling luggage that he realized that, hang on, the luggage looks amazing, you know, the quality, exquisite, etc. Now, he came from a family of leather makers, so they handle leather. That's what they did, but they didn't do anything fancy. So after he left the Savoy, after about 7 years or thereabouts, he went back home. He worked for a very upmarket luxury leather goods company, and then he founded Gucci. And we have the Gucci we have today. So again, a lot of these luxury stories start with people who had no money, people who had no shoes. So I'm trying to say to people, you can do the same. You can set up your own brand. It's a lot of work. It's not easy. But once you have these five elements in place, which are the five pillars, you're fine. And then the last chapter, because it only has five chapters, the last chapter, I talk about luxury buyers. And this is where the fun begins. A lot of people love this chapter. And I'll use an example. So if you think of two people, King Charles and Ozzy Osbourne, right? Many people laugh when I say that. Now, both of them, white male, they were both born in 1948. They've both been married and divorced twice. They're both wealthy and they both live in castles. According to demographics, you will sell to them the same. But according to the luxury psychographics that I look at, you do not sell to them the same. And I tell you how to sell to them. I tell you how to find people like that. I tell you what they're like, what their habits are like. So there's a lot I do in the book. I give so much in the book, and I use celebrity examples to help you understand the mindset. So if you're after a particular type, say the King Charles type, so if I wanted to reach out to somebody like King Charles, for example, I know I can't do it directly, so I'll have to go through somebody. So his type of luxury client is usually by referral. It has to be by referral. But Ozzy Osbourne, I know if I do something outlandish and I reach out to his people, I will get the attention. So I give so many examples in the book. So yeah, that's it really. And then you've got your final reflections, acknowledgements, biography, and the index. And that's my book.
I love it. I thank you so much for going through the chapters. I had a feeling I needed to kind of get a, you know, hear that and understand. Okay, yeah. Can I tell you my Ozzy Osbourne story?
Yeah. Oh my God. No way.
Ozzy Osbourne. So my parents had art galleries, Barker Animation Art Gallery in Hollandale, Florida. They had the Barker Animation Art Gallery. And my dad, Craig Wolf, is a friend of my father's, and he creates these ducks, celebrity ducks, they're called CELEBRIDUCKS. And actually we have a museum, and we're the celebrity duck museum. My parents left a toy museum for all of us. But so the Ozzy Osbourne duck, We had a copy of it. So he came into the gallery just kind of like, oh, wow, what is this? Because, you know, all the animation artwork is so cool. He saw our Ozzy Osbourne duck. And of course, we gave him one. And he took some pictures with it. He was so like, oh, my God, I'm a duck. And I'm like, how did you not know you were a duck? So that is my ducked up story about Ozzy Osbourne. Wow.
And that goes to exactly what I said, that something new, different and cool will attract somebody like that. And the funny thing is, both King Charles and Ozzy, they're actually friends, and their types attract each other, because the King Charles type, he's looking for a bit of adventure, but he lives vicariously through someone, and Ozzy will be fascinated by somebody like King Charles, because it's like different royalty, it's different to the rock and roll lifestyle, is a bit of, you know, normality per se. So yeah, I'm not surprised at all.
I love talking to you. So thank you so much. You've really been an amazing guest. And just to be clear with everyone, so I did not know who Elizabeth Saldura was, looks like. Didn't know how beautiful she would be when she got it. I was like, whoa, okay. What a beautiful woman here. Didn't know about your Luxpreneur. I love it. We're streaming live on both my Adrienne Barker Speaks and my regular profile Facebook page and my LinkedIn, which, not that I'm really popular, but it's about 20,000 people. And then we are actually live on Chatter streaming. So I'm going to send you the website. You can look it up, chattersocial.io. Take a look at it. If you want an invite, I'm happy to give you one. Okay. I think nobody really is talking about what you're doing. So it's a great platform. And you could teach, share, do podcasts, whatever you'd like to do on there. It's a fantastic program.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. And I'm so, thank you so much. So you connected with me on Matchmaker?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm sorry it took so long to get back to you, but I'm so glad you said yes. You said yes because you're brave, bold, and beautiful, because not everyone is comfortable knowing, hey, what does she know about me? Absolutely nothing. But now I know a lot, and I love what you do. So your book is available on Amazon.
On Amazon, yes.
Okay, I'll put the link out. I'll get that link for everyone. And then you have a website. Is your name?
Yes, elizabethsolaru.com.
And then do you have anything else? Do you have some socials you want to mention? Do you have a podcast?
You can find me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is my favorite place right now because, again, every day I talk about what some luxury brand or another. There's a lot of, you know, opinions, etc. I try to share what I know. So, yeah, LinkedIn is my favorite right now.
So go on to LinkedIn, ring Elizabeth Spell so you get all of her topics. I'm going to do that right away so I get more topics. I love that. I'll support your posts and share them. We all need to support each other. I am so glad and grateful that I said yes. No, I'm kidding. I'm so glad and grateful that you asked. But I am glad I said yes. I do, you know, opportunity, when it comes, you have to just have an open door and open mind.
Absolutely.
I've been doing this podcast for, I started 2000 Candid Conversations. And then, I think I have about over 200 interviews. And then I changed it to No Prep Needed. I think one day I was looking at having a colonoscopy and I'm like, oh, wait, there's prep. But what I do is no prep. Getting a colonoscopy, you have to prep for it. I don't make life hard for anyone. No filling out applications and driving people crazy. But so thank you so much, Elizabeth. This will be turned into a podcast. And I'll be on Spotify and all the platforms. But I'm so glad. I'm going to connect with you. We'll stay friends.
Yes,
and thank you so much. And I'll get you the chatter invite.
Great. Thank you so much, Adrian. It's been amazing. Thank you.
You are amazing. Thank you so much. You're beautiful. You really are.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.